I was thinking about a bunch of stuff, but it's all connected. The law, or the courthouse, or whatever, what is it for? It's to regulate the flesh. The flesh is nothing but sin. The courthouse, the judge, the lawyers are to regulate the flesh. And so really, everybody's guilty, but there's a lawyer as a typology of a redemption, right? So let's say you, everybody's guilty, but not everybody gets caught of something, you know? And so if you get caught, you gotta have a mediator between you and the judge, which is a lawyer, right? There has to be a mediator. Everybody's guilty of something. It might have been speeding, running a stoplight, running a stop sign. Some people hit somebody and they never end up in court. Some people, you know, all kinds of stuff. So the law is given by God to regulate the flesh creatures. Now, if you look at the Pharaoh of Egypt and the Jewish people that went into bondage, they went into bondage because of sin, right? They went into bondage because of their flesh, their sinful nature, their sin, their rebellion. They went into bondage. And then they cried out because the bondage was too hard, so they cried out to God. And he sent Moses, let my people go. And the Pharaoh had a hard heart. God gave him a hard heart because he wanted to be his own God. He thought he was God, a goddess. I mean, not a goddess, but he thought he was own God, and he had all those goddesses that he worshipped, you know. The Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, and all those different queens of heaven, goddesses. But he thought he was a god, and his wife probably thought she was a goddess. And so the false religions are for money and profit and self-glory, right? So everybody who's saying, I'm God, it's usually about money and about getting what they want. Their God is their belly, usually. Usually when somebody says, I'm God, their God is their belly. It's all about the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. It's all about them. They talk a big talk like they're something when they're nothing, really. If you don't, when God breaks them, you know, God's going to break them eventually, and they're going to, just like Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, think about it. You can only rebel and claim that you did it so long, and then God's going to he's going to be fed up. He's going to say, I'm done. I'm going to break you and show you what you really are. You're really like an animal, a beast of the field. It's only by the grace of God that you got any kind of common sense or sense in general. And so the law is the flesh. I mean, is covering the, it's regulating the flesh because everybody's sinful. This is why it took me a long time. It took me about 30 years, almost 25 years to understand what Paul meant. He says, better for a man not to touch a woman. But nevertheless, for fornication, let every man have his own wife. What is he talking about? Well, in Revelation, it says the 144,000 have not defiled themselves with women. What is he talking about? And he tells the saved woman, she's better off staying single. And the saved man, but if they can't contain, go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn, right? That's in 1 Corinthians 7. So what happens when you get saved? You're no longer part of this dead system. The flesh, your fingernails are dead. You got dead skin. Your hair is dead skin. You're walking around in a clay rock body. It's pretty much going back to the grave as ashes. And when I say pretty much, it is. It is going back to the dirt where it came from. So the only way you're going to rise up in the physical is by the spirit. Your body's going back to the grave. And so the law is to regulate the flesh. And that's why Romans 13 is in existence. Paul said, the sin, it's no longer I that sin, but the sin, the flesh that dwells in me. Nothing but sinners. Nothing but flesh creatures till you get saved. And the same spirit that quickened Jesus, rose him from the dead, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. So you can walk in the spirit, the power of God. And allegorically or metaphorically walk on water. But when you do that, you become a target because the flesh creature don't like that. It's kind of like, because see, the flesh creature and the flesh mind is the anti-flash. The spirit mind or the mind of Christ is flash. And so when you can rightly divide the word and explain a chapter or a passage or a dispensation through the mind of Christ, the flesh creature is going to attack you. When you say, hey, there has to be a pre-trib because there's a millennium and there's a tribulation. Has to be a pre-trib rapture. You get attacked. Why? Because pre-trib is faith alone. Who is he that endures? He that believes on Jesus. Long story short, we're under the dispensation of grace right now. And all you have to do is look up at the sky. It's blue, right? Blue letter law. Look at the grass. It's green. Old reptilian nature. Look at the dirt or the clay. It's your clay. It's dirt. Your clay body. So you got green grass, reptilian nature. You got dirt. Dirt, which is your clay body. You got rocks over there, which is minerals in your body. You got the blue sky, which is the blue letter law, and you're stuck underneath it, under the dome. And so you got all these things pointing and telling you. And you got the moon, which is moon mints blood. You're covered by the blood, or this place would be destroyed. And you got the sun, S-U-N, that points back to the S-O-N, that gives you vitamin D. Jesus is the door. And so as you look around in creation, you're looking at yourself and you're looking at the earth, E-A-R-T-H, ear. You need to hear the sun. You need to listen. To the word, the words. The Logos, the Word of God, Jesus, the Word of God. And most people you talk to, they disconnect the 2D from 3D. It's the King James on that two-dimensional book. Y'all love the King James, but it goes back to the Greek, and it goes back to the Hebrew, and it goes back to the Phoenician script, and it goes back to the trees and the shapes. Actually, a tree, the shape of a tree tells you a lot. It's upright, it unfolds out, the leaves turn over a new leaf. Leaf goes back to boil, goes back to the blood, the healing of the land. So the symbols and the shapes are really the root code. It's not English, it's not Spanish, it's shapes and symbols. And those symbols and shapes point to your body. And your body is mirrored out in front of you. The clay, the rocks, the trees, which is faith. upright. Moon mints blood. You got blood running through your body. You got the ocean, the waves. You got water all around you. You're breathing water. You're in water, breathing water, and you have 70% water in your body. You're connected to the earth. And everything on the earth around you is actually a mirror image of yourself, showing you what you are. And the earth needs something outside of itself to sustain itself, which is the sun. And the earth needs a covering, a temporary covering, which is the moon, mints, the blood, to even exist. The blood covering. For our birthing. So as the moon goes around 28 days, we're in a cycle birthing system. Mother Earth is birthing in babies, right? And the woman has a 28-day menstrual cycle, which is blood birthing. The woman can't birth without the menstrual cycle, without blood coming out every month. So the woman's tied to the moon. She's tied to the earth. She's a piece cut off from the man. She's the flesh side of man. Man is the flesh side of creation, from the spirit to the natural. Man's the glory of God. Woman's glory of man. It's a fractal typology at every level. So the numbers and letters come from you, your body, your shape. Jesus and his body, 10 fingers. One, two, count 10 base 10 numbers. One is one finger. Two is two fingers. Five is five fingers, one hand. 10 toes, 10 fingers, 10 plus 10 is 20. 20 is the cross, T, the letter T. Your body has the alphabet. It's not a King James book. It's a body book. It's about your body. It's about shapes and symbols, but those shapes and symbols go back to the head and the body. Your fingernail has the moon in it, has the blood typology in it. Fingerprints, the nail prints. Jesus was nailed to the cross. Why? Your fingernails, and you have a fingerprint on the other side. And the finger, the word finger goes back to show. Show goes back to preaching the gospel. Declaring the gospel. As you point your finger, you're showing. As you point your finger, you're saying, look at my fingernail and look at the prints on my finger. The prints, the nail prints, Jesus nailed to the cross. So the alphabet and the words and the languages are based on your body, which is based on Christ and his body, which is based on shapes and symbols. So for somebody to get all bent out of shape over it's got to be this language or this language, they're not going back to the source code, because all modern day languages go back to Phoenician script. Every single one of them. Except for the Chinese and the Japanese type. But every other language, German, English, they all go back to Phoenician script. And then everything, even the Chinese, go back to Sumerian script. And that goes all the way back to just making dashes in a piece of clay. And so all the languages go back to Sumerian. And those tablets are clay tablets. And those clay tablets, they used to write with grooves in the clay. So God is writing on the tablet of your heart, the grooves in the clay with those styluses, as God is styling you with the groove. The Word of God is writing on the tablet of your heart and setting grooves in your heart and your mind on your clay, taking your hard heart and turn it into clay, soft clay, writing on the tablet of your heart. So all languages go back to Sumerian, where God is cutting in words And so that's why when you look at the word Emmet, it's a clay creature with E-M-E-T on the forehead. But E-M-E-T in the Phoenician and Sumerian is just a bunch of cuts and a bunch of dashes and lines and cuts. So God is cutting you. God's using his stylus to style you, and he's writing on the tablet of your heart by his word. So you're in the ether of the word, swimming in the ether of the word, being fed by the word, being changed into the word. So you're being cut by the word. You're being turned into the word so that you can be union with the word, and then you can flow. So all these people that go get all bent out of shape over our language, the language is the God, the Sumerian grooves writing on the tablet of your heart. You want a real language? Go learn Sumerian and the little grooves on the clay. And you'll realize it's cut, turn, union, and flow. God has to cut you. God has to take the clay. When God takes the clay and he throws it down on the clay on the potter's wheel, what language is he using? He ain't using the language that you know. He's using the language of his hands. He's molding with his hands. He's cutting with his hands. That's the language. He's cutting, and the potter's clay is turning. He's cutting. He's cutting out the rough edges. He's polishing. He's shining. So your languages go back to a piece of clay where he takes a stylus and cuts down into the clay. Jesus knelt down and wrote in the. They were trying to stone the lady. He kneeled down and wrote in the dirt with his finger, and they walked away. He don't need a language that you understand. He just needs to cut you with some truth. The hypocrisy in the heart of man needs to be cut out is what it comes down to.